I want to add my kudos to all those who served in VBS this week. It is just one of the most powerful weeks of the whole year. And the thought of being able to invest in hundreds of children and their families is just such a privilege and a joy. And the children's ministry just led that with such excellence. So I want to thank all of you who served. It was such a blessing. The majority of those children do not come to our church. We invest in the community and beyond. So just such a privilege to be able to do that. So I want to say thank you to everyone. And as we began Vacation Bible School, I had another message scheduled for this Sunday, but felt very strongly convicted to change direction as I saw all those kids. And so today's topic is on how to help parents, grandparents, and others who just fill in those substitute roles to make a huge impact in the lives of kids. You see, the gift of a child is indeed one of the most life-changing experiences that anybody can ever have. And it is a spiritual experience. It's not just adding a family member, but it's experiencing the touch of God. When that happens, a parent is usually amazed, astounded at the creative power and majesty of our Creator, our God. And then because of that exciting experience, their hearts are usually filled with joy. It just changes everything from the inside to the outside. And then, if we'll be very transparent and honest, sometimes parents can be overwhelmed at the incredible responsibility they have of taking care of those children. And so it fits everyone. And by the way, if you are not a parent or a grandparent today, I want to extend God's vision for you. You have a chance to impact other people's children. In fact, as we're going to learn later, they're not ours. They're God's. And all of us can invest in those beautiful little lives in so many different ways. So on this topic of parenting, someone has shared some of the following amusing statements I thought you could both enjoy and maybe, if we're honest, relate to. The first one, you spend the first 2 years of their lives teaching them to walk and talk. Then you spend the next 16 years telling them to sit down and be quiet, right? The next one, cleaning your house while your kids are still growing is like cleaning the driveway before it has stopped snowing. And a lot of people in this culture can't understand this idea of snow, but let me take your memories back to the snowcalypse that happened about a year and a half ago. And maybe you can relate to that a little bit. The next quote, children seldom misquote you. In fact, they usually repeat word for word what you shouldn't have said. Again, right? The next one, the main purpose of holding children's parties is to remind yourself that there are children more awful than your own. That kind of encourages us along the way, doesn't it? And then the last slide has two quotes in it. We child-proofed our home 3 years ago, but they're still getting in. And be nice to your kids. They will choose your nursing home one day. Each child-following parent and Christ-following parent, that is a package deal, is invited to raise their kids in a Christian manner. That should be our commitment. And the time goes by so quickly. Folks, they grow up so fast. If you have not already identified and put into place an intentional plan for parenting, I'm going to invite you to really think about that here today. A lot of what I'm going to share is food for thought for you to take with you, to have conversations with other family members, with some of your cohorts, with friends, so that you can develop this intentional plan. And as you do that, God is going to use you to make a powerful impact in the lives of children. That's my invitation to you today. And here's the good news about this parenting process. If this is the first time you've really thought about God's plan for your future, it's never too late to start. You can start today. And you can become God's change agent for the lives of your children. How do we start? Let's make a commitment together and individually that we are going to follow His plan for parenting. We see that in Psalm 78. How does it start? Make a commitment to God's parenting plan. We're going to begin by looking at that a little bit here today. Let's make sure that Christ is the foundation of our homes and our family. Look at the first three verses of Psalm 78 again that Kevin read earlier. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. That's a story that brings a spiritual meaning to us. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. In other words, it's not a new plan. The psalmist is telling us that God's teaching has been around for a long time, and now he wants to pass that on to us. But here's the good news, even though it's old, even though it's been around for a long time, it still applies in every culture and with every generation on this planet. It's the timeless truth of God's Word. The first part of God's parenting plan is to recognize this. I shared it earlier. Our children are not really ours. They belong to Him. Our children are on loan from God. Look at verse 3 of Psalm 127. Children are a heritage from where? From the Lord. Offspring, a reward from Him. Your children are on loan from the Lord. Yes, they do come with a very high interest payment. But it's okay. I don't know about you, but when I borrow something from someone, I take better care of it than when it's something that I technically own. Children are on loan from God. And this should affect our attitude about kids. They're His children that He allows us to borrow. And we need to do the very best job that we possibly can to take care of His children. As parents, we need to go to the Lord. We need to go to Him to find out His instructions for leading our families. His plan is the best. The next part of God's plan is one that we don't often think about or recognize. See if this is fairly new to you. Our kids are God's tool for our growth and discipleship. Have you ever thought about that before? Many times we think about our role as being disciple makers, and that's indeed true. But also, we are taught to become like children. Look at what Jesus says in Matthew 18, verse 3. And He said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Jesus invites us to trust Him, to place our faith in Him, and for that faith to grow through time, to become like little children. That's what we read here in this scripture. We know that as parents and grandparents, it's our God-given roles to try to help our kids, to grow them up, to challenge them, to teach them. But have you ever thought about the fact that God wants to use the children He has lent us to develop us spiritually? That is also part of His intentional plan, for Him to use them as change agents for us. We need to humble ourselves before God. Sometimes we think parenting is just a one-way journey from us to them. We pour our lives into the kids. We pour our teachings into them. I believe that just as God has placed us into our children's lives, He has also placed the specific children we have in our lives for a purpose, for a reason. He wants to teach us through them. He wants to use kids as His tools for some of our spiritual development. I was speaking with a gentleman who had a tragic thing happen to him. His 45-year-old special needs daughter died. And I was talking to him and trying to provide some encouragement to him. He helped me to grow. About her life, she never spoke a word in 45 years. Think about that. Was never able to talk. Needed incredible personal attention from dad and mom and all the rest of the family. And she needed around-the-clock care all of her life for 45 years. And here is what this man said about that experience. God taught me so much through my daughter. Isn't that a great statement? God taught me so much. He said, I never knew how to pray until I had Rhonda. She taught me unconditional love. Boy, that's a teachable spirit, isn't it? A teachable heart. And all of us as parents and grandparents and adults need to have that same kind of attitude. God wants to use our kids to help us grow spiritually. Think about it. Think about that process. All of us know that we need the strength of God to be truly effective parents. I can't imagine not having a connection with my Creator God to be the best parent, to be the best mentor that I need to be. We look to Him because of that. As a result of that, we lean on Him and we receive His resources, His power, His input. As parents, we really learn patience, don't we? We have to. It's part of the process. We learn to persevere through difficult times that we face in our lives. We have the opportunity as parents to forgive, to learn how to show grace to others. Because we want advice, and when we're teachable, we'll go to others, peers, other believers, to try to find out how they are doing the discipleship process. God willing, and at the beginning of 2016, we'll have a parenting seminar here to try to encourage everyone here in our faith family and in the community on how to be better parents. All of these help us to grow because we're connected with others. We're involved in Christian fellowship. Parenting challenges often reveal our shortcomings when we're teachable. When we struggle, it's time to get to the root of the issue. What is going on? God, show me how I can grow. And as we're exposed during this time, we can turn these over to the Lord and we can grow. So yes, it's part of God's plan to bring us into the lives of our kids and grandkids and other children. It's also part of His plan to bring those particular children into our lives. So we can mature, so we can grow as disciples. But here's another beautiful part of God's plan that I want you to hear. We need to recognize how each of them has been uniquely created and designed. Think about your kids and grandkids right now. All it takes is having two of them to know they're different, aren't they? Every one of them is uniquely designed. I love what Solomon writes in Proverbs 22:6. Start children off on the way they should go. And even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Training a child. How do we do that? The Hebrew word for start at the beginning of that verse, or as some of your translations would say, train up a child in the way that he or she should go. Do you know what that describes in their culture? It describes this very clear picture of a Hebrew midwife. Somebody whose job is to help in the birth of children. And what does this midwife do according to this word to start off or to train? She takes a vessel and puts grapes in it and begins to push them and crush them with her fingers. And then she takes that finger and sticks it into the mouth of the newborn baby and begins to massage the gums and the roof of the mouth of that new mom. Why? Her goal is to create a sucking response on behalf of that new baby so that that baby can start learning how to drink. and eventually to eat, so that that child will get the necessary nourishment that he or she needs and will grow physically. Isn't that a beautiful picture of what should happen spiritually? Parents, your primary role for your kids is to help train up your children so that they will grow, especially spiritually, so that you can teach them to depend on God and to hunger and thirst for the life of Jesus Christ. That's what we're invited to do. That phrase, in the way he should go, in this verse, is a very key phrase. Notice what it does not say, and this will help us become better parents. It does not say, train up a child in the way you think he or she should go. It doesn't say that. Really, the best way to phrase that in English is to say, start off a child or train up a child according to his or her natural bent in life. It's the picture of trees. As trees grow, do you notice that all of them don't grow in the same direction? Some of them lean this way. Some of them lean that way. Some of them go this way. Some have many branches. Some have few branches. They are very uniquely designed. That's how our children are. We shouldn't try to make them the way we think they should be. We should be so connected with God that we receive His plan for that child's life. It's unique for every single one of our children. Some of our illustrations about this are very, very important and true. Look at Proverbs 30, verses 18 and 19. There are three things that are too amazing for me. Four that I do not understand. The way of an eagle in the sky. The way of a snake on a rock. Is that a little different from the way an eagle lives? The way of a ship on the high seas. And the way of a man with a young woman. Think of the unique way in each of these verses. Think about how all the characters of the Bible had unique bents in life. How about Esau and Jacob? They were twins. Were they alike? Different as night and day. How God made them. Esau, he's an outdoors guy, a hunter, rugged, strong. Jacob, man, he just loved hanging around the house. He was a good cook. He was a great mama's boy. Is either one of those wrong? Not at all. That's how they were wired. Each has his own bent in life. We shouldn't compare our children. We shouldn't try to force them to be the people we want them to be. Instead, we need to realize that every single child has bents. B-E-N-T-S. Every one of them. Each of them has good bents, those characteristics created by God. And each of them also has some bad bents. Where do they come from? Not from God. They come from the sinful nature of each of us. You see, we're all broken. And every child is as well, spiritually broken. And so what do we need to do? We need to try to encourage the good bents. Let's talk about that a little bit. What are those? Personality type of your child. It's not wrong for a child to be introverted. It is not wrong for a child to be extroverted. That's how he or she has been designed. Some children are big picture. They can look at the idea. They can catch the vision. Some people, they love tiny details. They're bent that way naturally. Is either of those wrong? Absolutely not. Not at all. One child may enjoy sports, outdoors, athletics. Other children may be creative and love the arts. Is either of them wrong? Only if you try to make them somebody they're not. That's how God has created them. We need to join Him and be His assistants in helping those good bents to grow. One mistake we, as parents, make with our children is to try to do this. Raise them exactly like we were raised. We don't need to do that. We need to raise them differently. We can learn from the way we were raised, but we don't need to go through life saying, hey, it's good enough for me, it's good enough for my kids. It may not be good enough for your kids. Seek the plan and will of God. Another mistake we made is to compare children, either children within our family or children with other children. It is so demoralizing for kids to be compared with their siblings, especially when we understand the spiritual principle that each of them is uniquely designed by God. And we need to walk so closely with God that we can recognize those separate but good bents. Another huge parenting mistake we make is when we try to live out our unfulfilled dreams through the lives of our kids. It can be tempting to do that sometime. You can hear that anytime you go to a ballpark, a gymnasium, or a football stadium. As you hear those frustrated former athletes up there screaming at either their kids, somebody else's kid, the coach, or the referee or umpire. We don't have to live out our lives through their lives. Cooperate with God on the good bents of your kids' and grandchildren's lives. What does that take? That takes walking closely with God so that we can understand His heart for them and so that we can hear His message and His plan for the lives of our kids. How do we find out? It's simple. Connect with Jesus Christ. Ask God for His wisdom. Watch your children. He will show you where they naturally lean, their natural bent. We need to encourage the good bents, but as I also shared, kids, all of us have bad bents, don't we? What do we need to do? We need to counter them. We need to correct the bad bents in their lives. Just as every child has good ones, every child also has bad ones. Each of us is born with a natural tendency to sin. It's called the Adamic nature. It was bred in Adam and Eve. It's been passed on to every single person. Psalm 51 verse 5 says, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me," all the way back to conception. Think about it. You don't really have to teach a child to be selfish, do you? It really comes naturally. I have never seen a baby choose to be quiet when he or she is hungry or tired or dirty. Have you? I've never heard one of them say or think, you know, I've been kind of tough on mom lately, so I'll just let her have a good night's sleep tonight. Just doesn't happen, does it? Watch two toddlers on the floor with a really nice toy or ball in between them. I have never seen one toddler pick it up, hand it to the other toddler and said, "Here, you play with it. I don't need it. No problem." They'll knock each other out to get that toy or that ball. It's natural. What do we need to do? We need to counteract the bad bits. We need to stand against the sin with discipline and correction. That's our task. Listen to what we read again in Proverbs 29, verse 15. "A rod and a reprimand impart wisdom, but a child left undisciplined disgraces his mother." And by the way, children who are left uncorrected will also impact the rest of society. We see that almost every day in our sad world. So what do? Your children need to hear something else from you. We've talked about God's plan. Here's another thought. They need to hear your stories in life. Parents and grandparents, share your stories. If you want to impact them, do that. That's what we read in our text in verse 4. "We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, His power, and the wonders He has done." So much in this 78th Psalm speaks about passing on your faith and your life to your children. So my question to all of you, as parents and grandparents, mentors, what do you have to pass on? Do you have a quality of life that you can pass on to your kids? You're passing on something. What is it? Are you simply providing a living for them? Or are you giving them your lives, your stories? Will you tell them about your upbringing? They need to hear about your story. Reminisce. Tell them about your past and your family. It's rich. Story of my family and my background is called M3, three M's. Moonshine, mafia, and ministry. No lies. I don't have time to tell you the story about the moonshine and the mafia today. Maybe another day. It's in my past. It's in my family. The richest part of your past, you're not going to turn your back on me anymore, are you? Pastor Scott, mafia. The richest part of your past is when you make a commitment to follow Jesus Christ. I just really want to encourage you to do that. Have you told your children about how you have made your commitment to follow Christ? And if you haven't done that yet, what's holding you back? There's no life that's greater than that. And if you haven't learned to do that, we're going to teach you how to do that in August. So hang in there with us. We're going to tell you how to share your story. Have you told them about other God moments? That's another thing that you need to pass on to your kids. These God moments. Have you shared with your kids and your grandkids about those times when God showed up in these surprising, life-changing ways? They need to hear your stories. Do you share with your children about when God answered your prayers in such powerful ways? Another rich part of your past. This is a harder one, but tell them about your struggles. Tell them about the tough times you went through. You could actually help them to avoid them or to be equipped and prepared when the tough times come their way. Would you be willing to admit that you're not spiritually perfect and let them learn from your errors and weaknesses? We know that life with our kids is a journey, isn't it? And so what I want to do at the close of this message is invite you to take some steps with your kids on the spiritual journey. I'm not going to be able to spend much time with this acrostic, but I do want to give you some thoughts and ideas that you can take with you, maybe to talk about over lunch or on a day off or on your vacation or some spare time together. Talk about steps that you can be taking. The first letter, S, is security. This is obvious. Your kids do need to know the security of your marriage, of your family, and of your future. And we as parents usually do a pretty good job with this one. We want to provide this safe environment for our kids, don't we? You can't fence them in all the time. If you try to do that, or if you fail to place trust in them, this is going to hurt their self-esteem. It may create an atmosphere of anger or a lack of confidence. It doesn't take long. About 8 months old, children begin to take steps of independence. They begin to crawl, they begin to get up and try to walk and begin to check out their world, to explore things. Don't misunderstand their hunger for that. They need to develop that commitment within a safe environment. Create an environment where they can do that safely, but as the kids get older, they need to be able to take more steps. And you need to help them in that journey. There needs to be a plan for that. And as they get older, folks, the world gets more risky. And you're going to have to focus even more on that. With the technology that kids have access to today, we need to be much more intentional about their mental and spiritual security. You pray about that and make a plan for your kids and grandkids. Another big step in this journey, the letter T, time. That's big, isn't it? We need to make sure that we are carving out time. Admit it. Time is your most valuable commodity today. And if you take that time with the kids, you're showing them that you prioritize them. If you neglect carving out that time in your schedule for your children, they're going to end up rebelling somewhere along the way. Give them what matters most. The next step, E, encouragement. That's a great parenting step, isn't it? Our kids really do need to be encouraged along the way. Tell them when they've done something well. Compliment them for their victories and successes. Do not accept them conditionally. Only if they measure up to your standards, with their grades, with whatever performance level you're setting for them. Walk with them unconditionally, just like God does with us. P, patience. We know that's a big one, don't we, parents and grandparents? We need to have that on an ongoing basis for our kids. And then the last letter, S, really sums up the parenting strategy. Sacrifice. Sacrifice is huge for our kids. Most parents do that, and it's a great thing to do for them. But I want to ask you another thought. How many of you are uniting with your kids and grandkids and other children to sacrifice for somebody else outside your family? Together. Your kids and grandkids need to know that the universe does not revolve around them. The greatest thing you can help them to do is to learn to give and to sacrifice for others. And if you can do that as a family, as a team, it will speak so loudly. And as you do that, you are modeling the God life. That's what He did for us, right? This is what our Heavenly Father did for us. We have an awesome model. Parents, it needs to start early. If it hasn't happened yet, it needs to start now. And it needs to begin with each one of us here today. Good parenting is an overflow. It is an overflow of your relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't recommend that you try it without Him. Because with Him, you will have everything that you need. I wouldn't want to try it on my own. How about you? When we talk about parenting, we need a plan. God has given us that plan. Do you know personally the one who came here and loved children everywhere He went? You remember that? He always had time for kids. Let's make sure we're carving that out in our lives. Do you have a relationship with the one who warned this world that if any of us cause one of these little ones to stumble, that it would be better if we had a noose that was around our necks and thrown into the depths of the sea? That's pretty strong, isn't it? That's how important children are to our Father. And it all begins with Jesus, who came our way and loved us and invite us to be His kids. Isn't it a privilege? Father, I want to pray that You'll show us today our part in Your plan. All of us have a role. It was so exciting this week even to see our students, dozens of them, serving and volunteering, loving kids. They're a part of the plan. And to see parents and grandparents and those that don't have children that we're serving. Lord, may that be our lifestyle. And I just pray for our families today, Lord, that You'll help us all to develop a plan based on Your system, and that it will be one that You will bless and empower so lives will be changed forever. And Lord, may it start with us. Help us to be teachable as we approach Your throne. And it is through Christ. We thank You and we pray. Amen. In one way, I was kind of disappointed that we didn't get to sing a song today that we've been singing all week. It was the theme song for VBS. The words were just resounding in my mind all week long. And the phrase that really stands out to me is, I will what? Hold on to Him. That's what our kids were taught this week. That He is one that they can hold on to, that they can love and they can follow. We want to pass that message on to all of you here today. And I want to invite you to continue to pray for those kids who were here. There were some parents and grandparents who are in tears because of the way their kids were loved and ministered to this week. I've got emails, I've got testimonies and stories. It was a great investment, but it doesn't end with VBS. It's got to continue. So let's all take part in that. Let's all pray for those families. Can we do that today? Maybe in our response time, a family will come to your mind. Maybe a kid that you served this week in one of your classes or a situation that occurred. Please pray for them. Earlier at the beginning of our time, Lee mentioned a new connections class beginning, I think it's 3 weeks from today. If you're not connected in a small group, it would really mean a lot to you. And you also have a lot to give. Think about that and pray about that. Pray for Gene and Trina Doffelmeyer as they facilitate that new group. Maybe you will be a part of that, a pioneer in that group. Is there a parent or two on your heart today to pray for? Let's stand together.